a quote this morning by one of our former presidents, Ronald Reagan. He said, "Freedom is a fragile thing. Perhaps we've lived with this miracle too long to be properly appreciative. Freedom is a fragile thing, and it is never more than one generation away from extinction. It is not ours by inheritance. It must be fought for and defended constantly by each generation. For it only comes once to a people. Those who have known freedom and have lost it have never known it again." That was his inaugural address, January 5th of 1967. Well, we want to celebrate our freedom, but more importantly, our freedom in Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, before the Declaration of Independence was signed, it was quite evident the signers of the document knew what they were fighting against. It's very difficult to defeat an enemy if you do not know how they operate. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians that unless Satan would get an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So today I want to talk about the cloud of confusion. The cloud of confusion. Recently, and even down here and a lot further, covering most of the United States, has been smoke that has drifted in. And it makes it very difficult to breathe, very difficult sometimes to see, difficult to travel, to do business. It interferes with our lifestyle. And everything in nature that is significant is a reflection of something that's spiritual. I'm going to say that again. Every time you see something of mass destruction or an earthquake or something of great magnitude, it speaks to us about spiritual things in the kingdom of God. So what we're seeing in the U.S. right now with the smoke is the cloud of confusion that has surrounded Washington, D.C. And we've allowed spirits in that have clouded our vision and have kept us from the ability of seeing properly and hearing properly and doing business for the kingdom of God like we should. So what we see in nature is a reflection of something spiritual. So smoke clouds your vision. It stupefies. Smoke is without substance and lasting reality. Smoke conceals fire. Now, when I was younger, my father and I, we raised honeybees. And they are interesting creatures. And I was speaking with my wife this week, not even thinking about what I was going to be speaking here. And I said, "Boy, with all the smoke in the air, I hope that the colonies of honeybees in America are doing okay." And I had to explain to her what that's all about, because when you're a beekeeper and when you're wanting to get into the hive of bees, perhaps you've never had that opportunity, but you want to make sure that they are properly smoked. Because when you take the smoker and you puff it into the hive now thinks that they're in danger. And so what they will do is they will begin to gorge themselves on honey, not knowing when they might eat again. But it stupefies them and it dulls the senses of the bees where they become lethargic and where they no longer had the mechanism to protect themselves, because they will eat and gorge themselves so full that they cannot sting you. And look what's going on in America. Our senses are being dulled where we don't even have a sense of knowing what's right, what's wrong. And the confusion that's clouding the United States is something that starts at the head and works down through the body. That's what the Bible teaches, that whatever starts at the head flows down to the rest of the body. And so all this different wokeness and critical race theory and transgenderism and boys not knowing if they're boys and girls wanting to be boys and sex changes, all all that is the cloud of confusion that we have allowed in the United States, and it has started in government, and because we are underneath that government, we are seeing the repercussion of those kinds of cloudy decisions. It's smoke from the pit of hell. Can I hear an amen? It is the enemy trying to ruin our nation and trying to deceive people where they no longer know right from wrong. The Bible says, woe unto those that call evil good and good evil. And the term woe is not let go. You know, pulling back on the reins of something like a horse. Woe is a term that describes great devastation and destruction. So if America doesn't turn, we've got to get out from underneath the smoke. I don't know about you, but just the smoke in the natural is enough to bother me. How about you? I've had COVID a couple of times. It doesn't help any. So I don't need any more smoke. And the United States does not need the confusion that comes with the smoke. And we need to be able to see clearly to operate as the kingdom of God in victorious triumph over what God has for us and for a nation. And I want to quote the scripture again. Lest the enemy gets an advantage over us, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. We have to wake up as the church. Now, I'm from the north, and some people say when I preach, I sound southern. So I'm going to put a southern, northern colloquial saying on something now so that you can appreciate it. We need to get our butt out there.
That's right.
And do what God wants us to do, because the time is short, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's looking for those that are faithful. Not simply people that have faith, but people that are faithful with what they've been told, that they're not simply hearers of the word, but they're doers as well. The Bible says in the book of James that any man looking into the perfect law of liberty and hearing what it has to say and not doing it is like a man looking in a mirror, and he turns and he forgets who he is. He forgets, he loses his memory of what God has done in his life and who he is by the nature and the virtue of Christ living in him. He's confused. I'm going to come back here where I can hear an amen.
Amen.
When we simply hear the word and we don't respond to it, the Bible says you're looking in a mirror. And when you walk away, you forget what God has done for you and in you and what he desires to do through you. And it's simply confusion. It's loss of memory. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, we all beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed from image to image. So as we see the Lord, the reflection of Christ in us brings the glory of God, where we know who we are because we know what Christ has done, and we have to respond in kind. The Bible says no greater love has any man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. And friend, I've got to tell you right now, one of the reasons that the smoke needs to clear is there's so much confusion in the United States that they need to see a fire. They need to see a light. The Bible says concerning the church that we are salt and we are light. Doesn't say we're like salt. It doesn't say we're like light. It says we are the salt and we are the light. And it's time in this hour to let it shine. Someone just recently told me, said, hey, I read the end of the book and we win. I said, I don't mean to be corrective, but your theology's off. I read the beginning, we win. I read the middle, we win. I read the end, we win. Everywhere that you look in God's word, we are the church triumphant, are we not?
Amen.
Amen. We can take this world by storm. Jesus only needed 12 men to change the world and turn it upside down. Look how many we've got here today. We can do this thing. If God be for us, who can stand against us, right? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can let the light out. I can clear the smoke. I've got to let the fire of Christ burn in me, and to be such ardent and adamant about not letting the fire go out. Because when you get a fire hot enough, the smoke dissipates. It clears because the fire is so hot, it burns everything in its path. So whatever that we see that's significant in nature is a reflection of something spiritual. The Bible says, and I quoted this earlier, but whatever starts at the head flows down to everything that's underneath. Let me give you some scriptures for that. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, where there's envy and contention, there's confusion and every evil work. Where there's envy and contention. I don't watch the news much because I would brick my TV if I did on a regular basis. It's like, my God, the amount of fret, you know, the friction and the factions and the fighting and the arguing, it's like, it's unbelievable. And it says where there's envy and contention, there's confusion and every vile practice, another translation says, every vile practice, the King James says, every evil work, anything and everything that you can think about. And the reason being is because where there's contention and envy is because there's idolatry and there's selfishness, and it's all about me and what I can get and what the government can do for us and mine and ours, and it's not about other people. But Jesus came that we might carry the torch, because he says in Mark chapter 16, he says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. He said to the disciples, he said, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest, for the harvest is truly ripe and the laborers are few. How many know that we are closer to the coming of Jesus Christ than we have ever been, and there are more opportunities now than you could even imagine? Are you aware that right now that there's a potential of 45 million people giving their life to Christ almost overnight? You say, how's that possible? Because the conservatives, because of the Republicans, because of the Tea Party, because of patriots, and because of rednecks are joining with the Christians, or the Christians are joining with that cause, and we're wanting to see our nation restored. And so the redneck don't care that the conservative sees things differently. He just knows that he wants things done a certain way. But it's an opportunity that all of a sudden the people that had the differences that separated are joined together, and God has the potential, I mean, the Holy Spirit has the potential of seeing these people come to the kingdom, because they're looking at America and saying, God help us. Right. Yeah. Something needs to change. If you don't change anything, then nothing changes, right? I mean, you don't have to be a theologian to figure that out. Something's got to change. Something's got to change. It starts here. 97% of parents that are in prison are fathers. We have a fatherless nation. We have a fatherless epidemic. And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 4 that before the return of Jesus Christ, that he will send the prophet Elijah, and he will cause the hearts of the fathers to be given to the children, and the hearts of the children to be brought into the fathers. You know what that tells me? There's a great schism. There's a great divide in families. Jesus said, when the disciples asked him, what will be the signs of your coming? He said, father will rise up against son, son against father, mother against daughter. There'll be hatred even in the home, where the Bible says the love of many will wax cold. But, everybody say but. So the good news is, I'm giving you both. Sometimes you got to get the bad news first in order to appreciate the good news, right? But the good news is this, that the Bible says that God's going to send a revival into families. And men are going to stand up and be counted. Men will be men. We zip our pants and we wear them. Come on. Ladies are the ones that wear nylons and skirts. I don't know about you, but I grew up where it was Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. I'm just saying. But God's going to bring a great revival in these last days. And in Malachi, he says, if I don't bring the families back together, he says, I will bring a curse upon all the land. The term curse there means great devastation. God is saying, if I don't bring the families back together, the earth is going to be devastated. It's going to be cursed. So we need to look for opportunities to reach out and be salt and light and gather people under ourselves. And even if you have no, natural family or children, you can be a spiritual dad. You can rise up to the occasion and be that spiritual dad. So the Bible says where there's envy and contention, there's confusion in every evil work. Write this scripture down. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. It says, the nation is ruined by faithlessness and idolatry. Confusion covers them because they have sinned against God and they haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. One more scripture that just shows that what starts at the head, what's going on in Washington, is trying to trickle down unto us, but we have to rise up. Like Ronald Reagan says, we've got to fight the good fight of faith. I'm adding that as a PS to his statement. Daniel chapter 9 verse 8 says, O Lord, to us belongs confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. So what starts at the head of government trickles down to the people that government overrides or rides over. It's sort of like this. If you have a great ministry and you have a great pastor and he's got a great anointing for a certain type of ministry, then everyone that sits underneath him is part of that anointing. In Psalms 133, it says this, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that flows down the beard in even to the paps and the skirts of the garment. So what God starts with the anointing and how the anointing on a person's life will flow down to the people that's underneath them. So as an example, in a family, the father, God anointed the father to be the one that leads the family. Notice when man sins in the garden, that God does not say, Eve, where are you? He says, Adam. Why? Because Adam was created first. So everything that was created after Adam, he is responsible for. Eve is not responsible for Adam. Come on. But Adam is responsible for Eve. And so there's that family anointing. There's that priestly anointing. There's the anointing of the ministry that flows down. If you have a ministry that the pastor has a problem with lying and cheating, I guarantee you the people that sit underneath him are going to somehow tap into that type of anointing where you will find other people in the congregation that they are experiencing the same kind of issues. So it makes sense when we look at these scriptures, how that it says that confusion comes to the nation. It comes to their kings. It comes to their priests. It even comes to the fathers. Why? Because it starts at the head and trickles down. Does that make sense to you? All right. Confusion. How about this? How many people have experienced in the last couple years memory issues? Let me see your hands. Come on. Because of the confusion that starts at the head and it comes down. Listen, you can be smart as a whip and your age does not determine your ability. No amens there. You don't know how I am. I'm 65, dude, so just knock it off. Your age, it does not have to determine your ability. I'm having some dental issues, so I'm trying to enunciate so you can understand. If I spit a tooth out at you, think nothing of it. Confusion, where you're walking into one room, and by the time you get there, you forget why it is you're there. Now, we all lose our keys. We all misplace our cell phones. There's certain things that we just, because subconsciously, we do certain things and we don't even think about it. We all experience that, but I'm talking about other kinds of issues. I'm talking about memory loss, where all of a sudden you can't name someone, and it's not that they're unfamiliar to you, it's just all of a sudden that information has evaded you. I'm telling you, I've noticed it in my own life, and I'm telling you, some of the things that you are experiencing in the physical, in your natural realm and body has nothing to do with nature. It has nothing to do with the progression of age. It has to do with the spiritual influence that's residing over our nation. That's why people are making stupid decisions in Washington. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Because they do not realize the demonic forces and the spiritual evil that they are listening to. They think it's their idea, but the confusion and the smoke is so great that the devil can whisper into their ear and they take it as their own and they run with it. They don't even know that they're listening to devils. Let me go to the garden real quick. When man was formed and Eve was formed out of man, and all of a sudden the serpent came and they begin to listen to the serpent, you can't listen to two voices at the same time. And so when you're not listening to God, you're listening to, come on. When you're not listening to the Bible, when you're not listening to truth, when you're not listening to what God has prophesied over you, when you're not listening to what you know to be true, then you're beginning to listen to something that's not true. And if you're listening to something that's not true, then therefore it must be a lie. And the Bible says Satan is the father of all. Exactly. You got it now. So what I'm saying is in Washington, we've got the father of lies that has opened up the pit of hell, and people have jumped in whole hog thinking that they know what's right for our nation. And many of us are old enough that we know that what they're doing is not right for our nation. We know it's not godly. We know it's not meant for us. We know it's not meant for our children and our grandchildren. And we've got to get up on our haunches and seek God in prayer and let the fire of God burn in us where the smoke burns off. So what starts at the head moves down through the body. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right? So look with me. I ask you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. God is not the author of confusion. Say that with me. God is not the author of confusion, but peace in all the church of the saints. God's not the author of confusion. Confusion manifests itself in forms of memory loss. God's not the author of you losing your mind. If you say, I can't take it, I don't know how to handle this, I'm going to lose your mind. You need to change your confession and say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I can comprehend. God created me. And if the neural pathways aren't open, then God opened those things for me. Amen. God's not the author of confusion, but peace in all the churches of the saints. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. God's not the author of confusion. Going to go back to this one scripture because God put that in my spirit just late in this week. That when we hear the word and we do not respond to the word heard, we're like a man looking in the mirror that walks away and loses his identity. Our identity is in the word of God. And who God's created us to be is defined in the word of God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. The Bible says Moses had 120 years. His natural force was not abated, and his eyes waxed not dim. In other words, he was keen. He was smart. He was intelligent. He could comprehend what God wanted for him and what God wanted for the Israelites. And the Bible says in Acts that says that God is no respecter of people. If God would do that for Moses, why wouldn't God do that for you? It's time that we as senior saints, you know, they said that older people are rich. We have silver in our hair, gold in our teeth, and lead in our britches. If God would do that for Moses, why wouldn't God do that for you? The confusion that is in the United States has been bled over even into our pulpits, where they are confused about the message and what the gospel is all about. Oh, I feel something now. It's not just that I come to preach to get money. You can keep your money. I come to honor Jesus. I come to lift Him up. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Come on, somebody, talk to me now. We've got politicians behind pulpits that are nothing other than pulpiteers that are milking the people for the finances so they can ride in nice cars and have nice homes, and I'm not against those kind of things, but when that's your priority, you have lost Matthew 6:33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And we've got the confusion that's bled into the pulpits where people think that we're here in church all about us and what we can get and the perks and the benefits, and if the pastor don't stroke us just nice, we're not going to give him the coffer. And if he sees they're not given, then he's going to try to stroke them a little bit nicer in order to pacify them, to keep his congregation so he can do whatever he's got to do. That was better preaching than you said amen. Confusion. Going to drop back to it. In the 70s, when the ERA movement came out, Equal Rights Amendment, and where women could burn their bras and they could make the same amount of money as men and do everything that men could do, it deflated something in the family. It took the purpose from the husband, who was to be the father and to be the lead, where all of a sudden, not that the woman's not equal, but again, the Bible says that God has placed the man over the woman, and that the woman was created to what? Be a helpmate for the man, not the man to be a helpmate for the woman. I'm just saying, there's so much confusion. It didn't just start with COVID and the plandemic, and that is what I call it, a plandemic, but it started a long time ago, back in the 60s, when rock and roll and drug culture came into America, and when it was free love, and where we took the Ten Commandments out of school, and we took prayer out of school, and we took the Pledge of Allegiance out of school. The confusion has started a long time ago. It's been a long process to get us to the point where we're stupefied and we're numbed and we can't see clearly and we can't function properly. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, digital Bibles are great, but I just have a hard time seeing someone take their telephone over to someone, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Can you see them casting out devils with their cell phone? I said, in Jesus' name. But I can see you taking your Bible. Talk about confusion. The day will come, should Jesus tarry, and I don't think He's going to tarry, where we'll no longer have public libraries, where books will not be a thing. It won't be a current thing. It'll be a thing of the past, where books won't be printed like they once was, because once you have a digital library, you can easily erase it. Remember what Hitler did. He banned books and he burned Bibles and he took all literature out of their hands, because he knew that knowledge was power to a certain extent. And when someone somehow gets us so confused that we no longer go to the good book, the B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth, and we go to some psychologist and we turn on Dr. Phil and we listen to somebody else tell us what the will of God is rather than seeking it for ourselves, we are under the cloud of confusion. Smoke has entered the room. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, I could just speak in tongues right now. Someone recently visited our church. I wasn't there, so I did a follow-up call. You know, I still believe that we should check in on people, you know. And I didn't know him from Adam. And I said, hey, just following up, you know, just checking to see if you had any questions. And the husband answered the phone. He said, no, we're good, you know, we're just checking it out and stuff. And I hear the wife in the background. She said, wait a minute, my wife wants to say something to you. I said, oh, okay. So I started talking to her, and, you know, we mentioned, you know, in the conversation was the weather. How can you not talk about the weather? I mean, it's innate in our nature to talk about the weather, isn't it? It's like, you know, I want the job of the weatherman. He can be wrong 100% of the time and still get paid. Him and the politicians, they must work in the same network. I don't know, you know. And so I'm talking to this woman, and she starts telling me she has like asthma or breathing problems and some other things and stuff. She said, well, would you pray for me? Now, I've never met her, but I said, well, do you believe in speaking in tongues? I do. I said, okay, let's do it. But my foundation of faith is in the Word. You know, if during the shutdown, it was, you know, that we were, as a church, we were told we were insignificant and we no longer had a voice. If you know how to speak in tongues and let it rip, that's what I say. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 says, therefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind. Everybody say, sound mind. Sound mind. Paul is talking to Timothy, his son, his spiritual son. And obviously he's tapped into the phone line of heaven because God wants Paul to encourage Timothy that he's under some confusion and he needs to break free of it. Otherwise, there would be no mention of Timothy, a young minister, for the elder statements, Paul, to be saying, God's given you a sound mind, Timothy. Timothy's coming under oppression. He's in a city where idol worship runs rampant. He has older people than him that he's ministering to, and that can be a problem in itself. I remember when I was a young minister and everybody, you don't know nothing, you're young. Well, I'm older now and you're older and I still know more than you. Come on. So Paul has concern for a young minister who's having a hard time and he writes him and he says, God has not given you a spirit of fear. That's part of that confusion. I don't know what to believe. The boogeyman's coming. How many when you grew up as a, maybe you didn't. When I grew up, it was the boogeyman. How many know what I'm talking about? It was the boogeyman. I'd never seen a boogeyman. I'd never heard a boogeyman. I never talked to a boogeyman, but I knew the boogeyman was real. You couldn't convince me otherwise. And that confusion, spiritually speaking, that comes into our life will try to convince us that we're going to die of something that's not even real. That we have something. Oh, I felt something. It's a mosquito bite. I felt something. I heard something. How many know that if you live in a mobile home like we did for years, that a branch sweeping across the side of that trailer in the middle of the night can sound like a vicious animal trying to get in? I remember one night I got up and I went down. You know, trailers are interesting things within themselves, aren't they? I mean, they're a hot box like in a microwave in the middle of summer. And I remember going out into the living room and we had this hall light, you know, long, thin hall down through there. And I was out there being spiritual, trying to pray and stuff. I didn't know, but my wife had come out of the bedroom. She had this flowing gown on. She walked across the register that was in the floor and the light was overhead. And all of a sudden I seen this creature that was flowing and glowing and said, don't do that to me. Hey, I don't know about you, but my eyes do not adjust quickly to the dark. So, I mean, it's like, what meaneth this? What meaneth this is your wife just got out of bed, knucklehead. But you can die of something. Something can be so fearful to you and have no substance. Remember, one of the definitions to smoke is it has no substance and it has no lasting reality. So I'm interchangeably using the term smoke and confusion because I believe that they're tied in one to the other. And again, what we see in the nation happening on a significant level talks to us about what's happening in our nation on a spiritual level. So Paul is talking to Timothy, a young minister. He said, don't be afraid. Well, what are you afraid of? Well, He said, don't be afraid, for God has not given you a spirit of fear. Fear can come as a spirit. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So Paul is trying to encourage Timothy. So he tells him how this should happen. He says, Paul's concern for him, he starts in verse 6. He says, remember how that you were called. Remember the gift of God on your life. Remember how the hands were laid upon you. Remember how your mother and grandmother prophesied over you. Remember who you are, Timothy. Remember how you're called. Remember what God has done. And then he says in verse 6, he says, stir up the gift of God. The term stir up literally means fan the flames. Fan the flames. Stir up the gift to work the miraculous. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. The word power is the Greek term dunamis, which means a dynamite. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, God talks about to the disciples. He says, go and tarry in Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father and the power of God descend upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. And the word power there used in Acts 1 and 2 is the word dunamis. It's dynamite. It's the same thing that God, through Christ, who is God, speaking to the disciples, said, you're going to receive dynamite-like power by the Spirit of God. So Paul is reminding Timothy, a minister of all things. Don't be afraid. A minister's afraid. Don't be afraid, Timothy. He says God has endued you with dunamis or dynamite-like power. Power. Stir it up so you can work the miraculous. Stir it up so fear leaves you. Stir it up when you feel alone so that you can feel the love of God. Stir it up. Fan the flames, Timothy, and you will find that the smoke cannot remain. It will dissipate. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So you stir it up. You fan the flame when there's smoke in the air. You stir it up. You fan the flame when you're foggy and confused. You stir it up when you're fearful. You stir up the gift in you to confuse the enemies, because yes, the Bible even says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that when the people of God begin to worship God, God set ambushments against the enemies that were trying to ambush the people of God. God can flip the very thing that the enemy put on you to go back to the enemy that sent it to you. Worship. Stir up, fan the flames, and God will bring ambushments and confuse your enemy. How many know the devil's a knucklehead? He's got 10 pounds of brain damage because there's no way in Gehenna that he can win this war, and he still continues to fight. He's on a suicide mission, and he's trying to drag as many people with him down to the pit. Because if he can't win, he might as well try to make losers out of winners. Confusion. I've heard some great preachers talk about spiritual warfare. And I have never heard one time them say this. The devil's confused. But the Bible says, had he known who Jesus was, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You want to talk about confused? When the last nail went in the hands of Christ, when the spikes and the thorns went in his head, when the whip lashed his back, and when the devil laughed and said, there, I finally did it. Jesus stepped out of the temporal into eternity, and he walked down in the gates in hell and said, you made a major mistake, mister, because the very blood that I just spilled will redeem the people that you have tried to put under taskmasters and tried to make slaves to sin. The very thing you did will bring the liberty to the world. The world will know the light of God because how you tried to bring the darkness into my life. See, what you don't hear preached is that the Bible says that the devil is the father of all lies. So when you get enough liars all together, they're confused. You can see it on TV. You can see it on CNN, NBC, ABC, any broadcast you want. You'll hear one person say something, and later the White House will come on and say, well, we didn't mean that. And because you've got the father of all lies trying to bring confusion into the church, he himself is confused. You can't continue to lie all the time, but what you start going back on your lies and telling lies to cover your lies till at one point in time, you don't even know what the truth is. The Bible says in the last days that there will be people that deceive and being deceived. They don't even know it. They're so confused. They're under such a smoke and cloud of confusion. So it shouldn't be hard for us to say, you know what? I know what will confuse the enemy. When he thinks he's got me and I still stand up and I say, I'm going to church. Wait a minute, you ain't feeling good. Oh, I'm still believing in healing. See, I about died in June of 2016. I had to have an emergency surgery in order to save my life. And I thought, my God, am I ever going to get out of this thing? And 25 years before that, I had another emergency surgery to save my life. And I said at that point, will I ever be able to preach healing again? Oh, you betcha. I'm going to preach it because that's exactly what the enemy thought that he would do by trying to shut me down, to shut me up. But it's put a fire in my belly where I said, I gotta preach. I gotta preach. I gotta preach this word of the kingdom of God to all men at all times, especially in this dark hour. We gotta stand up for the truth and stir up that fire pot. Fan the flame, baby. Let the ambushment and the discouragement and the confusion come back on the devil's camp. When he thinks that he's defeated you, you slip your leg out of your bed and you get one foot in front of the other and you make a declaration, I ain't done yet. I'm not defeated. What God put in me is everlasting. I've got the seed of life. I'm more than a conqueror. You know what more than a conqueror is? The person that's more than a conqueror knows that when he gets up in the morning before he or she has ever faced anything, that they're going to beat it, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, thanks be unto God that always causes us to triumph. Can you imagine the devil's confusion when he killed Lazarus? Oh, we got him this time. But here comes the Son of God. Oh, it ain't over yet, because the fat angel ain't saying. And here comes Jesus and he raises Lazarus up. The devil has to scratch his head and say, I killed him. I can't do any worse than that. And he still came back to life. Sometimes the greatest testimony you have is you're still on your feet. You're still walking. You're still talking. You're still reading your Bible, praying, attending church, blessing God with your offerings, and you're still remaining faithful. Mm-hmm. Stir it up. Stir the fire. I'm a country boy. We grew up on wood stoves. Anyone here relate to me? So, every once in a while, you'd have to take a poker. They called it a poker. You had to take a poker, and you had to poke the fire to get it burned better. Some of you, I just came to poke today. You got to stir it up. You got to have a little edge on you. You got to get sort of sassy. I mean, no way. Yeah, you're poking at other people. You got to get a little sassy. You got to be poked a little bit, because we all get comfortable. But if you poke a fire frequently, add fresh fuel to it occasionally, it will last indefinitely, and the smoke and the fog and the confusion will clear. Let me say that again. If you poke a fire frequently, if you add fuel, fresh fuel to it occasionally, it will last indefinitely. One of the commandments that God gave the Levites were that they were never to let the fire go out on the altar. It was to be a perpetual fire, something that burned all the time. And that's God's command to us as well. When we come to the book of Revelations, he says this. He says, you're not on fire. You're not cold. You're smoking. But I think there should be a sign up over the entrance into the church. No smoking allowed. No smoking allowed. Smoke conceals the fire. But when the fire is poked frequently, added fuel occasionally, it will last indefinitely. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost for almost 50 years now. My fire ain't out. Amen. How many have noticed? My fire ain't out. Amen. I plan on preaching till I ain't got no fire. And when I ain't got no fire, I plan on stepping on the other side of glory. Amen. I would that you're hot or cold, the Bible says. Speaking to the church, I would that you're hot or cold. Isn't it interesting when we read the book of Revelations, the first couple chapters is all about the church. And God speaking to the church, I would. I would that you were on fire. Interesting scripture. I preached it a while ago. Jesus said, I have not. He said, I have come to the earth to bring a fire. How many have ever read that one? Oh yeah, I come to set you up. I come to light you up. I come to bring a fire into the earth. The Bible says in the Gospels, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there's one that comes after me who's mightier than I. He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and with
fire.
Yeah, you got it, with fire. Amen. So how do you stir it up? How do you stir up the fire? How do you remove the confusion? How do you get your memory back? Recently, I just had a real interesting day. I had went out and I was going to cook some eggs. So I went out to the kitchen, I got the frying pan, I put it on the stove, crack, I dropped an egg in. I'm going for the trifecta. I'm going for three eggs. I get to the second egg, I crack it, I open it up, and I drop it right into the wastebasket. I'm going, that is really weird. I go to the third egg, it wasn't a problem. I cracked it and put it in there. I thought, well, that's just, you know, that's just strange, right? Well, later that day, there was something else that happened that seemed just out of the norm. So I thought, I'll go out in my garage and I'll clean my garage out and do something where I'm cleaning stuff out of my garage and I go outside to take some trash out and I turn around, I walk right into a beam that supports the front porch. I'm going, this day is getting weirder by the moment. And I thought, there's something wrong here. That's not natural. And I'm telling you, regardless of what you think, I come to poke you this morning and say, there's some things about you you think are degenerative. There's some things going on in you physically that you think is natural regression, and it's not, it's spiritual. I'm going to tell you what I did. I immersed myself in the Bible. I didn't listen to someone else preach. I didn't read someone else's books. I just took out scripture and I started reading the scripture. And kept reading the scripture. You know why? Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if I'm not living by the word, I'm dying without it. Man shall live by, not bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I begin to eat that heavenly manna. I begin to eat the Word of God. And in a day's time, I saw things, not that time, I saw things another time just recently where I began to do that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, man, my memory was sharp. Why? Because I was getting a transfusion from heaven. I was clearing the smoke out and I was placing something in it that the fire could burn. So we need to stir it up, and one of the ways we stir it up is by having the Word of God in us. The Bible says in John 8, 31, 32, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So some of you that I'm speaking to this morning, if it's not memory problems, it's physical problems, and Jesus came that you might be whole. Jesus came to save you, seal you, set you free. And what he did in the atonement and the work of the cross and the blood was all of that, including healing.
The fog and confusion in America has gotten to the point where now we ordain, we don't, but other denominations ordain homosexuals to be in their pulpit, and they don't even believe the Bible. If I gave you Gallup poll facts, you would be stunned by the reality of how many people don't even believe the Bible, but they still attend the church. I'm going, what's the point? The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that what you might prove, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So the Word of God becomes a filter for us for making decisions. I'm not going to be conformed to the world, I'm going to be transformed. That word transformed is a Greek word metamorpho, which means metamorphosis, which we understand about the butterfly, how the butterfly is changed from a worm into something beautiful. Go ahead, give it to your husband, honey. Preacher said you're a worm, I want something beautiful. Read this thing. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you might prove. It's the acid test. It's the filter system. It's the parameters for you making decisions, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Finally, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Just one way that we can fan the flames is getting back to the Bible and getting it back in us. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. We've got to get back to basics, right? We've got to get back to the Bible. It's still the book for the current age. And if you don't believe that, read Romans 1 and 2 and you will understand how that the Bible even prophesies in the book of Romans of a time coming where men will do what seems to be impossible things with their bodies and women as well. So, soundness of mind. Let me just boil this down to Paul's statement to Timothy. He said, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul knows that by stirring up the gift, the soundness of mind comes back. The power comes back. The love comes back. And the ability to walk in impossible odds without fear and without concern of what man might say, might do, or what they might not say or might not do. I'd like to pray for people this morning that's having problems with their memory. This was for you. This was for me. But this is for the church, and this is for the United States, and this is so we can get back to a point of freedom, where freedom reigns, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But if you would like prayer this morning for your memory, maybe you've got confusion, maybe you've got memory loss, maybe you're like what I said earlier, you walk into a room and you don't even know why you're there. I'm telling you, friend, I cannot emphasize enough. Some of the things that I'm describing right now are not just physical anomalies. They are spiritually inflected upon your life. So if you're here this morning and you want prayer for your memory or something along those lines, why don't you come and we're going to pray for you. How many of you have said this within the last couple of years? I don't know what to do. You're having a problem with your memory. You're having a problem making clear decisions. You're having a problem with soundness of mind. One last question. The man described in the book of James, it says, I heard the word, but I was like a guy looking in the mirror, and I walked away, and I didn't know who I was. How faithful are you this morning, friend, to hearing the word and then doing the word? The term disciple literally means learner-doer. And if you need some prompting, if you need the fire poked in you to help you to do what God's called you to do and what you're hearing preached from the pulpit, then I want to pray for you as well. You know, God loves us. He did not abandon us to become somewhat of a gnarled mess of nerves. where the soundness of mind has left us, where we're so fearful. But God has come to bring that liberty into our spirit and that soundness of mind. Like I stated earlier, when Paul says to Timothy, God has not given you that spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, that God is no respecter. He loves you just as much as he loves anyone else, and he wants you to have that clear.